Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from our Lord God and Savior and His Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Today we're going to talk a little bit about high priests. And to start that, I guess we need to talk about why we might need a high priest, right? I don't know about you guys, everybody here, but sometimes I found myself wondering if everything is okay between me and God. I mean, do you ever have a sneaking suspicion in the back of your mind that maybe, just maybe, he's still mad at you about a certain sin that you did, and one of these days he's going to get you back for it? Or maybe, possibly, you might wonder if he's really listening to your prayers and wants to help you, or if maybe you're on his blocked call list. But let's be honest, that's not really how our God works. I mean, some people sometimes even wonder, you know, if I died tonight, would God be on my side? Right? All these are questions that sometimes in our moments of doubt or fear or worry go through our heads. But the good news is, there's kind of an answer for that, that God provides for us. There is a way that God has provided in the story of Christ and in the story of his death and resurrection, and also in the story that began way, way back in the beginning, for God to provide a way for us. And the answer is that you need a good priest. Or actually, more exactly, you need to know that you have a good priest. In fact, the best priest, the high priest. You might be thinking to yourselves, well, Pastor, aren't we in a Lutheran church? I mean, they call you pastor, not priest, right? Or father. So why do I need a priest? But in all honesty, we do have priests in the Lutheran Church. And for one thing, there's a sense in which every single Christian is a priest in the service of God. We call that the priesthood of all believers. Now that in itself is a sermon for another day. But there is also the high priest, which is the high priest, as in Christ. And he's not just for Lutherans. He's for all people, of course. But he's the high priest, and that's the one that I want to talk about a little bit more today. That's the one who can help you during those disturbing thoughts. That's the one who talks about the word, and that's the one that is talked about today in our text from Hebrews. So let's reread that text, since we went over it a little earlier, and just go over it real quick and listen to it. For every high priest chosen from among men is appointed to act on behalf of men in relation to God, to offer gifts and sacrifices for sins. He can deal gently with the ignorant and wayward, since he himself is beset with weakness. Because of this, he is obligated to offer sacrifice for his own sins, just as he does for those of the people. And no one takes this honor for himself, but only when called by God, just as Aaron was. So also, Christ did not exalt himself to be made a high priest, but was appointed by him who said to him, "You are my son. Today I have begotten you." As he says also in another place, "You are a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek." In the days of his flesh, Jesus offered up prayers and supplications with loud cries and tears to him who was able to save him from death. And he was heard because of his reverence. Although he was a son, he learned obedience through what he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation to all who believe in him and obey him, being designated by God a high priest after the order of Melchizedek. So reading that today, did you catch who the high priest was? It's not me, right? And it's certainly not pastor either. It is Christ. He is the high priest. And you may have been taught a long time ago in catechism class, or maybe not. I don't think I actually was taught this in catechism class. I think I learned it in seminary. But we have that Christ is not only priest, but he's also prophet and king, right? So he has three offices, the prophet, priest, and king. But for most of it's been a long time since catechism class. So I think we tend to forget that part about Jesus being that person in between God and me. So what does it mean that Jesus is the high priest in the order of Melchizedek, as the Bible describes him here? In verse 1, the writer to the Hebrews tells us what the job of any high priest is, including the Old Testament high priests of Israel. Every high priest chosen from among men is appointed to act on behalf of men in relationship to God, to offer gifts and sacrifices for sins. That was the job. It was to represent the people before God, to act as a go-between between God and the people he has called to serve. So when the people would be afraid to go to God directly because they have angered God by their sins, or maybe they had seen people interact with God inappropriately and died because of it, possibly in the terms of the Old Testament, they sent priests to go on their behalf. So if you read through the Old Testament, the law of Moses, you'd see that there was an offering after offering after offering offered by the people. Lambs, calves, bulls, goats, birds. And the Old Testament priests were supposed to slaughter these and then burn them up on the altar as offerings for the sin of the people. And since the Old Testament high priest from the tribe of Levi was a sinful person as well, like you and me, he also had to offer sacrifice for his own sins, as he does for those of the people. And this thing was an animal offering as well, usually. But the thing is, animal offerings like that didn't actually pay for human sin. That wasn't the job of the animal offering. It was simply a reminder of sins. Because it's impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away the sins. These sacrifices reminded the people that God didn't ignore sin. That payment had to be made, and they pointed not backwards to the original sin, but forward to the Savior of all sins. They pointed forward not to a greater priest, one who would be able to do the job a little bit better, but one who would go and do that perfectly. One who filled all those roles. And that greater priest, of course, was Christ, the one whose job it is to represent you and I before God. As Hebrews 4 says, we have a great high priest who has gone through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. And Jesus is just that high priest we need. He's the one that reminds us not only of our sin, but also of our forgiveness. Because he's not just someone who's so far above you, this God who knows nothing of our situation. He is a God who came down, the God who came down into the middle of his people. He suffered, he knows the burden, he knows what happens, and he's even suffered under this weight of guilt. For even though he never sinned, he took all the sin and guilt of the world on himself in our place. As 2 Corinthians says, God made him who had no sin to be sin for us. But not only can your high priest sympathize with you in your weakness and your need, he's also in the perfect position to represent you before God. It's even better than having a lawyer to represent you who just happens to be the judge's son. Well, in this case, that's actually the way it is, right? He's on your side, right? It's not collusion if it's real, right? But that's how God works. In this case, this works for us. God has appointed Christ to be our intercessor, to be the one between him and us, the one who forgives us all our sins. And not only did he do this small sacrifice, but he did the biggest sacrifice. It wasn't just a sacrifice like the priests of the Old Testament, but a sacrifice that goes far and beyond. This high priest, he offered the perfect sin offering for us. It wasn't a bull or a goat, but it was himself, the Holy Son of God, who had lived a spotless life under God's law in your place. So listen to how the writer of Hebrews describes the sacrifices. He sacrificed for their sins once for all when he offered himself. And again in Hebrews 10 it says, "We have been made holy through the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. By one sacrifice, he has made perfect forever those who are made holy." So this sacrifice of many years ago, was not only for us today, but also for those Israelites who were waiting for that promised one. The ones who had priests as intercessors and who were waiting for the great high priest to come and forgive their sins for good. And to be honest with you, there is no time when the great high priest won't be there for you. It happened then, but it has impact now and forever. So as we sit here in the fifth week of Lent, preparing ourselves for the death and resurrection of Christ, we know that Christ, his purpose is not in vain. He has died on the cross, and he is raised from the dead to be our high priest forever. So remember the great high priest that you have, and leave each day on this earth with a joyful peace in your heart, not worries, not preoccupations, for through him you are right with God. And when troubles come, as Jesus has told us they will in this world, don't think God doesn't care or won't help or is trying to ignore you. But remember how your high priest has made you perfectly at peace with him. And the Father sent him to do just that because he loved you and wanted you to be at peace with him. And to do what God invites us in Hebrews 4:16. Since we have a great high priest who has gone through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Amen.